So, Be'ezus Hashem, today we're going to finish up Melacha Gerua. Today is Thursday, October 24th, I think. We're going to finish up Melacha Gerua today with just a few bits, and then we will go on to talk about other issues regarding the Mishnah. After we do that topic of the Mishnah, we will be finished with the Mishnah, and we can start the Gemara. Be'ezus Hashem. So, I want to show you, until now, we've been living and breathing and sleeping and dreaming about Melacha Gerua.
Nightmares.
I thought they were... Okay. So, what's important to think about is, like, we don't know how to look at Hotzah or how to answer any of these questions that we've been dealing with in terms of why do you need two psukim and why do you have to say both Ani and Ashir. The only answer that we have to all these questions is Melacha Gerua. So we assume it's like the Bible. Melacha, you know, like... It's part of like Tanakh. There says somewhere that like Hotzah Melacha Gerua. You have to say that, even if those words don't appear anywhere in Chumash or in Mishnayos or in Shas. You have to say it to answer all the questions that we have about Hotzah. I would like to show you right now that in fact I'm going to prove to you that there is at least one opinion who doesn't hold from Melacha Gerua, and not only that, but that you all know who he is. Let's open up the Mishnah, the Gemara. The first Mishnah, the first Tosos.
I thought Rabbeinu
Tam answered all these questions with the answer of Melacha Gerua. I'm going to now show you somebody, not Rabbeinu Tam, that's what my goal is right now. I'm going to show you somebody who disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam.
No.
Let's look at the first Tosfos. Could everybody please find the words Rabbeinu Tam Mefaresh? Or Mefaresh Rabbeinu Tam. Everyone find the words Mefaresh Rabbeinu Tam. It's the first skinny line. In, the first fat line in... the first medium line in Tosfos.
The what?
The first medium line in Tosfos. The Mefaresh Rabbeinu Tam. The first medium line.
The Ptah?
The Ptah.
You have it?
The Ptah.
John, you want to read that?
Sure. The Ptah.
So again, the question that all the Rishonim have to answer in this part of Tosus is why are we starting with Hotzah and not with the regular order of how Shabbos works? Go ahead.
The Ptah beyetz yod. We open up the Gemara with talking about carrying. Bishum debay lemeimar lo yotze achayat bemechito. Because later on we come to.
What's ba'i lemeimar?
What?
What's ba'i lemeimar?
Ba'i is soon, it says.
What is ba'i? Want or need?
Oh, yeah.
That's why I asked.
Ba'i is need.
Want or need? Mishum debay lemeimar. He wants to say the Tanna wants to tell us, wants to teach us the next Mishnah, which is what's the next Mishnah?
Right.
What's the obvious question? So why didn't he also tell us about washing clothes? Which is to understand that. Go ahead. Afalgav.
Afalgav. The Lord Shana Hamavan Mishum Einotnim Kelim Lekoves.
Question mark. What's that question?
So why did we not teach about laundering?
Good. The Isra of Malabim.
Since ain't no name, kelim, we don't give. Is that the name of the parrot?
No, that's the next Mishnah, where after Mishnah says that a tailor can't go out with a needle in his ear. The Mishnah continues and says, and similarly, you can't give clothing to a laundromat right before.
And why didn't we learn about fire, right?
And why didn't it teach us the Malacha of Mavir? To understand the Mishnah of Bamet Tomnin. If we were worried, what's the Mishnah of Bamet Tomnin?
How to insulate
food? And what's the whole concern why you're not allowed to insulate?
Because
it might come to light a fire. So why don't you tell me that there's something? Why don't you tell me about Havara? Tell me that there's something called stoking coals. That there's something called lighting fires. Tell me that there's an Isser called doing laundry, so that I'll understand that when you tell me the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan on the Isser, at least let me know that the Isser exists. Why only here do I have to tell you about the Isser of Hatzah so that you could understand this Mishnah? And says Rabbeinu Tam. Tfei, what's Tfei?
More,
Yoter. Hatzah has to be taught more than everything else. Not better, but more. Right, as I'll explain later what Malacha Grua is. But since it's Malacha Grua, therefore you wouldn't know it as well, and therefore I have to teach it to you. Great. Now, Malacha Grua is part of how he answers his question.
He is
Rabbeinu Tam.
So
this is our same Rabbeinu Tam who in the next Tosfos
is
saying
Malacha Grua. Is this a raya to your reading of the second Tosfos?
I don't want to get into that now. We could discuss that after. So that's a good question. We should analyze it. I don't think I did analyze this at all, but we should analyze it. Let's see if there were any other answers that Tosfos had other than Rabbeinu Tam's answer. Let's go up and see. There's somebody named by the name of Riva. The Riva, who could find the Riva here?
It's the first.
Hikshriva, so where is his answer?
Oh, Taritz.
Taritz, where is it? Tell me where.
Taritz also.
Yeah, and then smack in the middle of the thin lines, in the middle of the line. Right below Rabbeinu Chanan, it's right below Rabbeinu Chanan.
The Taritz,
the Hotza'ah Chavivalei. First one line is Chavivalei. Josh, you want to read Chavivalei?
Sure.
Everyone have a place? Teretz? Yeah. David, you have it?
Yeah.
Doug, you have it?
Teretz, Chavivalei. The Akdume Mishum Dimimishnazu. And the answer is that Hotza is more precious to him. That's why he preceded it to the first Mishnah, to this Mishnah.
He preceded it. Why did he precede it? Mishum, because why is it Chaviva to him?
Oh, because from this Mishnah we learn several things. Hotza'a v'achnasa d'ani v'ashir. We learn the Hotza'a v'achnasa of Ani and Ashir. Udba'inan akira v'hanacha. And on by Udba'inan.
If you don't know, then who's going to know? You're the one who knows this.
And we needed to learn also akira v'hanacha.
Okay, so all these halachas. Right. 2 points. First of all, he doesn't give the answer of Rabbeinu Tam. He gives this answer. That's what point A. That's not a proof to anything.
Yeah, but he says you can learn or derive out all of these from the Mishnah.
Right.
So we can learn out that.
Well, didn't Rabbeinu Tam learn out the concept of halach malacha grua from this Mishnah, from the fact that the Mishnah says Ani and Ashir? Didn't Rabbeinu Tam learn out from here that it's a malacha grua? So A, you see that he doesn't give the answer of Rabbeinu Tam, which involves Malacha Grua. B, when he lists the things that we learned from this Mishnah, what does he not say? He doesn't say Malacha Grua. Okay. Still, I'm not convinced. I see that he had two opportunities to say Malacha Grua that he didn't take advantage of.
But the fact that he didn't say Malacha Grua means that he's not holding by it?
No, it's interesting. It raises my eyebrows that he didn't say Rabbeinu Tam's answer of Malacha Grua. And even when he lists the Chidushim, he doesn't say Malacha Grua either.
The Riva was so careful when he was writing to make sure everything was
in. Look what he's doing. He's telling you how many are in this list. Really. How many different things are in this list?
But he said Malacha Grua in the last one. Achnasa
v'atzah dani v'ashir. Bina kir v'hanacha. Shnai esu shubtur. Yodosh alam chachul l'gadalada. Yodosh alam enag l'gadalada. Yodosh alam enag l'gadalada. At least 5 things. Okay, fine. But that's not convincing. Hold on. Let's look at another Tosfos now. Hold on. Give me a minute, please. Turn the page. This is a Tosfos that we did yesterday, actually. Turn the page. On the bottom of the page, Tosfos says, the third to last Tosfos on the page. Milo Askina. So you don't need the beginning. Let's go to the Ve'im Tamar, the third line of Tosfos. Alex, could you read me the Ve'im Tamar on the third line of Tosfos?
Sure.
The last word on the line is Ve'im Tomer. Yeah, that Tosfos, the third line. The last word is Ve'im Tomer. Start from there.
The answer.
Third line, the last word on the line.
Oh.
Oh, really? It's not the same.
No, it's actually the first word on the.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Okay, good. You tell me. It could be they changed this one to fit it with like Kadot, maybe. This might be a change. Okay, go ahead. Umayshna, why is this different? Why is Hotzah different?
Titani told the Hotzah, the low Tani Shum told the whole Shar Abus.
Question.
Abbas. Yep.
What's the question? He's referring to the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel in the 39th Malacha. What does the Mishnah there say? What's the 39th Malacha?
Hotzah is Rishus.
Exactly, which teaches me?
Both Havnasa and
so what's the in Talmud of Tosos?
So why would the it taught within the listing of the Malachos, it taught a Tolda, which wrote all the other Malachos and only taught the Abbas.
Right. What is the answer that you're familiar with?
All right,
you're familiar with that. How do you familiar with that? Because I told you this question yesterday, and there's a Tosos in Shavuos.
The answer.
You know what Rabbeinu Tam says there? Malacha Gerura. Of course, he's Rabbeinu Tam. So he asks this very simple question, which everyone's concerned with. How come 39 Malachas, the only Malacha that you tell me a Tolda in your Mishnah of Avos, is Hotzah? Why Hotzah? And what does Rabbeinu Tam answer? It's not recorded in this Mishnah, in this Tosfos. But the in the first page of Shavuos, it answers because Malacha Grua. So you wouldn't think it would have any toldos or something like that. So I want to tell you, even though it's Malacha Grua, so it has toldos. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Because we know Rabbeinu Tam holds Malacha Grua. Let's see what the Riva says. It's here, it's Riva.
The whole Shar toldos, in Haya wrote, we know some. If you want, to teach them, Hayat Sarif Leharif, you would have had to expound that length for them. Bilshono, Bilshono, to teach them.
Good. Leharif Bilshono.
Aval Haknasa, the Kruya Hotzah, Kolala Emo, the codes are that it can be included in Hotzah very briefly.
Right, okay. Meaning it's a very editorial kind of answer. He's saying that Hachnasa, you know what, you can include Hachnasa.
So all the other Toldos.
Because the same word or two could get the same point across.
All the other Toldos would have been included in that Mishnah if they could have said it shortly.
That's what the Riva would say, right? So what do I have here? The Riva. Yeah. Who's the Riva? Did I ever meet this Riva before?
Yeah.
He's the same guy. In the first page also neatly and conveniently avoided Malacha Gerura. So do I have a proof that the Riva does not hold from Malacha Gerura? I don't have a proof. But were there two places where the Riva could have
said
Malacha Gerura? Where Rabbeinu Tam did in fact say Malacha Gerura?
Yes.
Perhaps we can suggest that this Riva does not hold from the entity, the whole.
Wow.
He doesn't hold. The past 3 days of Shir were a waste of breath. There's no such thing as Malacha Gerura. That's perhaps what the Riva holds, as indicated from these two sources. This source perhaps is a better one than the first page. That's the end of this piece that I wanted to share with you. Questions, Jesse?
So it seems like the Riva's conception of Hotzah, if I were to even redefine Malacha Gerura, because it's so nebulous, we don't know what it means. So at least according to the Riva, then Malacha Gerura consistently, according to the Riva, would be condensed. Wait.
From Greek.
No, fine. Malacha Gerura. How about this?
What do Christians hold about Malacha Gerura? What do Christians hold about the Lamed about?
Okay, fine.
It's the wrong
fine.
Word.
Forget the word Malacha Gerura. Forget the phrase Malacha Gerura.
Yeah.
So the Riva says that Hotzah is a condensed Malacha.
Where do you say that?
The fact that you learn all these dinim from Hotzah alone, and the fact that you can learn out Hachnasa.
No, the Mishnah teaches you. That's not because it's a Malacha Gerura that you can teach somebody halavas. It just
no, I'm not talking about Malacha Gerura. I'm agreeing with you. I'm not talking about Malacha Gerura. But according to the Riva, Hotzah is Chaviva to the Tana.
This Mishnah. There are lots of Hotzah Mishnahs. There are about 10 of them throughout the Masechta.
Yeah.
This one has a lot packed into it.
Yeah, you could derive a lot of things just from a concise statement. according to the Rebbe.
And this, yeah, this one, this concise statement.
And including the other Mishnah as well, including the Mishnah where it lists the 39 Melachos.
Well, that Mishnah has this, I have to have the 39 list somewhere, don't I? That's the one Mishnah.
Yeah, the illustration of the fact that the last Melacha, you learn out a Tolda, is because it's so simple, it's so easy to derive a Halacha, just from one extra word, where it's not the case with all the other of a Melacha. So Hotzah is special and unique in
the
fact that...
No, just the words go easier. It's an editorial point, the Riva's answer. The words are easy. The word Hotzah is a word, as we'll see when we get to the Gemara that was shown in a few months. The Gemara, right there, but on the next page, is going to say that the word Hotzah probably refers to Akmasa also. The word, just the word. Not talking about content, not the idea, but the word Hotzah means whatever you go from property to property. That's what he's saying.
That's not only an editorial thing.
That's all it is. He's saying the words fit, the words, you could say the same thing in the same few words. If I had to say Zoraya and watering, which is planting seeds, and also watering a plant, which is a Tolda, I'd have to add three words, watering a plant. But here, I just have to say, I could have said...
That's not just semantics, it's also content and substance. You're deriving substance from what the Tana is saying.
Right, but the reason why Tana said it here is because he was able to give you content without adding an extra word. Every other Malacha that you want to teach me a Tolda, you would have to teach extra words. Here, what could he have said? Hotzami Rishus Hayachal Rishus Arabim? For the same price, he could say Hotzami Rishus Rishus, same three words, and he gets to teach you an additional halacha. So he might as well. He doesn't have to pay, spill any more ink. He doesn't have to pay any more, for his typesetter. Okay. Okay, gentlemen.
Yes, Rabbi.
I am finished with Malacha. No, I'm not finished with Malacha. Oh. I want it. Now we get to do it. Psych. Okay. I want to finish off Malacha Grua with some practical Halacha L'Maisa applications of Malacha Grua.
Yes.
This past Sunday.
What does it mean? Where you could be Mekel with Hotzah?
I want to know, does this concept we've been learning for the past 4 days make itself into Shulchan Aruch? How does my life and your life change because Hotzah is a Malacha Grua? Okay, good. Fine. Great. You're saying that's the reason why we can carry on Yontif. Great. Thank you. I should have added that to my list. Thank you. I appreciate it. That is correct. I'm going to end that right now.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that, like, we can't make an eruv for cooking, but we can make, like, an eruv for, like, carrying?
No. So let me share with you. On Sunday, we talked at incredible length. We're just going to talk today. I'll just mention it to you.
I'm going to be here on Sunday.
Because it's important. You saw, you missed. We saw that even though when somebody does work on Shabbos, they're not allowed to derive benefit from it. Does anyone remember what that word phrase is called? What? The special term that we use for work that was done on Shabbos. Whenever we want to talk about that. It's called Ma'aseh Shabbat, Ma'aseh Shabbos. Ma'aseh Shabbos is also Behana, right? So somebody would...
Someone broke Shabbat.
Right, somebody builds a house on Shabbos, he's not allowed to live in that house. Until after Shabbos. That's what we talked at length. Is it forever? Is it only for Shabbos? You can't eat that fruit. So is it forever? Is it just that day? Good. Hold on. So the Rashba that we saw in the Myron Kolas sheet number 6, which we did on Sunday, tells us that there's one exception to the rule. What's the exception? Hotzah, because it's a malacha grua. You didn't do anything. Every other act, every other violate malacha that you do during the on Shabbos, I cooked something, I built something, I harvested something, I colored something. So you made a change, you can't get hanah from that change. However, says the Rashba, since on with Hotzah you didn't change anything, it's a malacha grua, you didn't change anything, therefore you didn't really do anything that we could say that it's not as severe. Because it's a malacha grua, and therefore you can get benefit from the hotzah. And the halach, Alex, do you remember the halach lemaisa that we came out with?
Well,
the president. What was the story?
What was the story?
The president.
Oh, the president of the shul. The shul was locked. Because that's in the Erev. The president came early. I realized that the shul was locked. So went back home. Got the key. Carried it. Opened the shul. Now the rabbi called
the shabim.
The shul was open. So can they use the shul?
So what's that question? That's a question. Meister Shabbos. No, I'm just telling you, what would be the halakha? What would be the halakha?
Examples.
I'm sure it did happen for real. Of course it happened. I'm sure, without a question. But let's say, but even if it didn't, that's not, what do you see from here? This is a case of Meister Shabbos, of the, what was the violation, Chutzah. Can you derive the benefit from that malacha?
Yes.
So if it would be, if the president came to shul, and he saw that the challenge, nobody turned on the challenge for the Kiddush, and he turned on the challenge for the Kiddush.
You can't benefit from it.
It's not kosher, right? It's not kosher. You can't eat it. But if he opened the door and he carried it outside the Erev, the Rashba says, since it's a malacha grua, boom. You could.
But
that's okay. That's the first
thing. Does it matter if it's enough amazing or?
Yeah, that we talked about on Sunday. Yeah, shogig amazing makes differences. Yes.
So I was satisfied with that when we discussed that Sunday, but I'm thinking, especially with the comparative for tzad or tzeda, when you're trapping, you're saying it's different because the object functions as a different object when it's trapped as when it's not. Couldn't you really say the same thing for anything without sod? Is that the key is useless if it's at someone's house, but it's functional if it's in the location of the shul.
I hear what you're saying. You obviously can't say that because we know that's not the case.
Right.
But so we'd have to figure out how to say it with more distinct terminology that. A key is still a key. You're right, you don't have a use for it, but a key is just a key.
But it's only useful if it's where it needs to be.
I hear that. But that's only going to apply to keys, but apples and books are just as useful wherever they are.
Like a college, there would be some people who would bring, you know, sometimes even as a favor, you know, before, you know, sometimes we're explaining, you know, would bring, let's say someone borrowed something of mine, so they would bring something, or it might be bring something.
And return it to you on Shabbos.
On Shabbos. So, they're... Might have even, let's say, I don't know, let's say it was...
Well, they bring you a bottle of wine. You invite them for Shabbos lunch. And they didn't drive.
Right.
They didn't drive. They just brought it from their dorm room. 7-minute walk. There's no Erev. And they bring it to the Hillel house where you're working. Or to your house, wherever you live. They didn't drive. They know you're religious. They'll never drive.
Right. That's something that certainly was... I'm not sure...
So here, he violated Chutzah. He took it out of his house. That was Chutzah. He brought it into your house. That's Hakadasah. He presents you with a bottle of wine. What do you do with a bottle of wine? He said, I even chilled it. I made sure to buy the one with the, you know, all the Hebrew letters on it, that it's kosher, so you can use it for Kiddush. I even kept it in the refrigerator so that you could use it for Kiddush. It's kosher, it's not, I didn't, oh, you know, it's already, it's boiled in Vusha. I know you wouldn't touch my wines otherwise, so here you go. What, he brought it there by carrying. You think it's a funny story? This happened to me. It happened to me last Sukkot. I had a guest on Sukkot, and he knew, he was an old student of mine who's no longer... Who wasn't as religious as he could be. It was, no, he bought it on Yom Tov. He bought it on Yom Tov. He was an old student of mine. And I, Baruch Hashem, keep up with a wonderful, wonderful young man who right now is very difficult for him to keep Shabbos. But he's very careful that whenever he goes somewhere, he always brings a gift. It happens to be he didn't buy a bottle of wine before Shabbos. So he bought a bottle of wine. He said, Rabbi Orlin, here's a bottle of wine. I bought it on my way here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Cause, first of all, buying is drabbanan.
Could you ever benefit from that wine?
That's going to be that question. So, we're not going to get into that now, but that's our first nafkamina.
So, it's better to buy it than to carry it?
100%. Carrying, again, maybe in a karmelist it's only drabbanan, but carrying a shus rabban is also deraisa. So buying is asa drabanan. Mukzah is drabanan. Money is drabanan. What?
If someone comes to my house and bought a beer, it happened to me twice, two weeks ago.
So could you drink that beer? They bought a beer on Shabbos.
On Shabbat in Washington Heights. Like,
right. Yeah. I have to check. And he knows that you're not allowed to buy on Shabbos, right?
He told me, man, I'm so sorry. I was playing FIFA. I forgot. I was playing PlayStation. I forgot I was Shabbat. I was going to come at 7. I came at 8. I bought the beers 10 minutes ago. I'm so sorry.
When he bought it, he knew he was buying on Shabbat.
Yeah.
So that's probably mazid. So what happened? By Isser Drabanan, is there this halach of Maaseh Shabbos? I think we referenced it on...
Oh, it's only by Mishum Kisuf.
If you don't need, it's probably prohibited, definitely for him, and if he bought it for you, the question is for other people. If somebody who wasn't invited came, would he be able to drink it?
After Shabbat.
Sure.
After Shabbat, the amount of time it took to buy
okay.
it.
Okay.
After Shabbat, even David probably would be.
I don't get it. We're being stricter on a Derabanan than on a
No,
it just happens to be that this is a Malacha Gruah, so it doesn't have the classical halachas of Maisa Shabbos. The whole halacha that we're saying of Maisa Shabbos, I mean, it sounds funny, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're being strict on a regular Derabanan.
Yeah, we're saying this halacha of Maisa Shabbos, of not benefiting from something Malacha that was done on Shabbos, doesn't apply to the world of Malacha Gruah. It's the world of Hatzah, period. You're asking, but wait a second, for Bishul Midrabanan, or for some other Drabanan, you're going to be more... That's a great point. That's a very good point. Hold on. Okay, we have to work on these questions. These are all good questions. We have to work on them. It could be that Drabanan, is there a Maaseh Shabbos on Drabanan? Because why is it you're not allowed to benefit from stuff that was a malacha that was done on Shabbos?
Because someone
is being changed. Is it Midah? What is it, Midah?
Horaita.
It's only Midah Rabbana. No. The rabbi said, we're going to put a fine on you. You want to do malacha on Shabbos? So we'll put a fine on you, we'll put a knas on you, that you can't even if you do it, you can't use it.
Benefiting is Derabanan.
It's a Derabanan.
Can I use it after Shabbat?
So here it's a Derabanan, on Halacha it's a Derabanan, that doesn't make a mutter.
Which one?
No. Transactions. Right. So it's a Derabanan on a Derabanan. In such a case, maybe if there was in great need, we would be Mekel.
Because you gave the shul example, and I was thinking, oh,
that's
the mitzvah. So then,
still
then people have to go to shul.
Well, not for the Raisa. Mitzvah doesn't help you for the Raisa. If it's, you're right. Yeah. If it would be an Issa Drabana, like telling the guy to turn the lights on Shabbos.
Okay.
Let's say this happened in my shul. I remember numerous times. You're in the person who set the Shabbos clock messed up with his whatever, or right when they changed the clock the next week. You know, it's off an hour in the middle of Lechadodi, the lights go out. So the shul has a Shabbos. It has a guy who the janitor take care taker. What do? They call them downstairs. They go downstairs. They call them and they say, "Please, fix it." What are they doing? They're violating Issa Drabanan of Amir LeNachri, but it's an Issa Drabanan for a Sorech Mitzvah Shel Harabim, a communal mitzvah. No, it's a Mitzvah Shel Rabbim. So even though the Malacha, the Rabbi said you're not allowed to do Malacha, you're not allowed to do Amir LeNachri, it's an Issa Drabanan. But the same rabbis who said that you can't do the Issa Drabanan said in certain circumstances where, for example, it's a Mitzvah Derabim. We never prohibited you. So therefore, it will be mutter.
So,
but in your own room, if you want to, if the light went out, you wouldn't have no right to,
if you
want
to study Torah
right
in your
to
room.
Turn on the light.
It's a mitzvah, not the rabbin. Can you tell my housekeeper to turn on the light?
So I'm talking about talking directly. We're not talking about hinting. Talking directly.
I'm saying directly.
I don't think mitzvah permits an issur d'rabbanan. No, the answer is no. A mitzvah, the rabbin permits it.
Yes.
Maybe if you hint it, you're not telling them to do anything. Like Maria, it's very dark in here.
Rosita,
it's very dark in here. He said it so like naturally. Okay, but these are fascinating questions.
But like a rabbanan though, if it's done b'shogeg, you're allowed to benefit from like on.
So right, if it's a rabbanan that was done b'shogeg, then I think you'd be able to probably benefit from it.
You're not sure.
Probably even on shogeg.
Also, the right thing that was done, you can never benefit from ever.
That's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. That's Amakomas Street number 6. There's a quote from the Shulchan Aruch there that. That, I don't remember the details.
So back to
Shulchan Aruch on page number 6.
Malacha Gruah. So for carrying, can you do Amir LeNachri since it's Malacha Gruah, or even if it's not a mitzvah? Just
the
like
answer is no. Okay. It's prohibited. Even though it's Malacha, keep in mind, we're saying it's Malacha Gruah. That's not going to therefore mean that I can do it if I want with it. We're gonna stretch our brains and look through all of the rabbinic literature for the past 500 years, and we're going to find 4 examples that it ends up being more lenient for Hotzah because it's Malacha Gruah.
Okay, so your example.
So my first example was there's no Maaseh Shabbos.
Yeah, Maaseh Shabbos. Yeah.
That's first example. Yes.
But your example with the president, right? Let's say he knows you can't carry. This time
of course he knows.
He knows you can't carry, and he doesn't want it. Like, what would be the proper thing to do?
Get a guy.
To carry
it.
Tell the guy directly. please carry the key from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim to
Okay, what? Now let's be practical. Who's going to do that?
Yeah, which coin?
Unless you say, I'll pay you, or...
Okay, that might be doable also. You might be able to do that. Say, and come back after Shabbos, we'll take care of you. I've done that. We left a flame on or something in the house Friday night, or whatever it was.
Me too.
You went out to the street, and you ask a guy, not only are they always willing to, but sometimes if they see it like a... Because everyone's Jewish in Greenock. Okay. But in Greenock, everyone has...
And most people don't keep Shabbat.
Okay, so
it's okay,
you could say, you know, come back after Shabbos. Exactly. I'll take care of you after Shabbos. I don't know if you could say, you know, I'll give you $20 after Shabbos. But say, can I give you like a cup of wine, like a drink? We're about to, you know.
I just
see a guy wearing a suit who's like 60 years old and doesn't look scary. We've done this at 11:30 at night. My father goes out at 11, you know, it happened. 11:30 at night, my father's going out, you know, a mature adult and wearing a suit, you know, looks neat and clean in front of a house and says, you know, maybe a woman would be terrified to walk in, but a guy who, you know, who's walking the streets understands, you know, he says, it's my Sabbath and I have a problem. We've had a lot of success in Brooklyn. It's worked numerous times. Okay. Next point, where we see a halacha lemaisa application of being a malacha grua. Let me ask you a question, and with this we'll begin the next nafkamina. So the first nafkamina is maisa shabbos. Well, let me put down... What Josh said, the very fact that you can carry on Yom Tov.
Be a man.
So nafkamina of Hotzah Gerua. So we had number one is Yom Tov. Number two is Maaseh Shabbat. Maaseh Shabbos.
Wait, Rabbi, what does nafkamina mean?
Nafkamina means the practical application. I mean, we've been learning something for a few days, and it was completely theoretical. We haven't seen where it's going to
apply,
because it is malacha grua, it will be like this. If it's not malacha grua, it will be like that. And actually, it's coming out into action, into practicality. That's what I mean by nafkamina. Nafka, go out, mina, from it. What comes out from this? From calling this a malacha grua, what is coming out from calling it a malacha
grua? What is Otsah saying up there?
Yom Tov and Maaseh Shabbos. Nafka Mina of Halacha Gerua.
But do they? I should have put Halacha Gerua. I don't get why you're labeling it as Halacha Gerua now.
Hotzah is Halacha Gerua, right? Except for Riva.
Okay.
We're assuming that, I assume...
Meaning you're trying to get the application since it's a malacha
grua. Since it's a malacha grua, therefore, how does it affect you as a Jew in this world?
Is that the reason, though, for Yom Tov? Like,
That's what Tosfos said, that we saw on 2 days ago.
Is that what Shulchan Aruch says?
Shulchan tells you halacha, it doesn't tell you.
Oh, it doesn't tell you, okay.
But would tell you the reason of... Sometimes
it's a letter there. The Tosfos tells us the reason.
Okay.
Okay? The second we saw is a Rashba. Who made this point on Markos number 6, if you want to see it inside, that there's no Maaseh Shabbos, there's no prohibition of getting benefit from a malacha done if the malacha is hotzah. Every other malacha, there is an iser, a prohibition of deriving benefit from that from the chil Shabbos. So cooking on Shabbos, building on Shabbos, watering is weird. Riding on Shabbos, all those things, building on Shabbos. If you build yourself, if you put up a tent, on Shabbos, you can't sit in it on Shabbos.
So
if you're going camping, you build a tent outside, you can't go to that tent on Shabbos.
If I carried something on Shabbos, like a fruit or something?
You can eat it.
I know, but according to I shouldn't be able to eat it because I carried it?
Well, every other malacha, you should not be able to derive benefit from it.
Okay.
Right? If you carried your food to the park, you could have food in the park, so now you're...
Shouldn't be able to eat from the food.
Right.
Ever.
For example, if you lit a fire in the park, you wouldn't be able to warm your hands over the fire in the park, because that's Maaseh Shabbos. But you are allowed to eat the apple in the park.
So why don't they say that already he did the act, he might as well just benefit from it?
Because the rabbis realize that if we let you do that, which is true, Midoraisa, what are you going to do?
You're going to do it again.
You'll do it! Okay, I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I'm hungry.
Yeah, but the guy that's
I know I'm not supposed to do it, but
the guy who's already breaking the fire doesn't care what the rabbi
is. Yeah, what if we say that everybody else also can't benefit?
Oh, that's right.
And sometimes when you're about to do something, you don't have so much strength. But like looking back, it's done already. Okay, now you have 12 hours to think about it. Should I, you know, can I use it or not? A lot of times we know we shouldn't do something, but in the act, we just do it, and then we think about it for 10 hours afterwards.
Exactly. Like, so a lot of people that aren't Shomer Shabbat will do certain things correctly for the other people that they know that care.
That's also true. Okay, next nafkamina.
Let me... third case?
We're about to tell you. The third case is like this. If you, on a Doraisa level, if you write with invisible ink, what I mean by invisible ink, it means that you write it, and then, I don't know, 7 hours later, it just fades. Did you violate Ketiva,
yeah.
Writing?
No.
Doraisa, you did not.
No,
which is why some people suggested that when an Eretz Yisrael, or if you're a doctor, you have to work in the hospital, and you have to write a prescription.
You have 7 hours to get your medicine.
You should write it in ink that will dissolve within 24 hours. Because they won't make it in Nisa Darabanan. Meaning, of course, he has to do it. There's no choice. He has to do it. But instead of him violating Nisa Daraisa, by writing this prescription, he's in the hospital. He has to do it. And it's for whatever reasons, and he has the permission ahead to be in the hospital. But at least let's knock his things down to Nisa Darabanan.
But it will make the person go to the pharmacy on Shabbat.
No, in the hospital. It's all in the hospital. It doesn't matter, he's a guy, maybe the patient is not Jewish, maybe the patient is Jewish, but either way, he could go to the pharmacy, it's for health reasons. It's life-threatening, whatever it is. But at least we have an easy way to just change the doctor's writing to Araisa to be a writing to Rabbana. So write it invisibly.
It would be better to tell a goy.
Shari Tzedek is a great idea. They should do this in Shari Tzedek. If you tell a guy, maybe it's even better. Okay, that means every doctor has to have a guy next to him. Which is, by the way, what they do at Shari Tzedek. In Shari Tzedek, every nurse... In Shari Tzedek Hospital, every nurse, when she's taking the vitals, when they have to take vitals, that's part of caring for a patient. Take the vitals, okay, the blood pressure is 92 over 64.
That's very dumb.
A guy will accompany the Jewish nurse, or the religious nurses at least, and write it down for them. Because the writing they don't have to do. Okay, that's the first thing. What is that called? That's called...
Hanur Kayam. Mitkayim,
or mitkayemet if it's a female verb. So if it's a female noun. So we have ksiva, writing has to be things that's mitkayim. Let's you build something. Let's you build a house out of cards.
Ooh.
Is that bona?
What?
Cards. You take the seven hearts and an eight of spades, and you put a jack on top.
It's not permanent.
It's not permanent. So that's certainly not
Lego
moving.
Also.
Oh, Lego also. Similar to Lego. Similar to Lego. What else? What else do we see? What else do we see that in order for something to be miskayev, in order for it to be chayev, midarais, it has to be miskayev.
Wait, but the Rabbanan,
you like it also?
Legos are allowed?
We're not getting into details right now. My kids play Lego on Shabbos.
What?
I played Lego when I was little. My kids played Lego when
only
like,
when they're little.
I will. Well, with Lego, you have to be careful with Borer.
Oh.
When you're looking for a piece, you have to just beware.
Good from bad.
Yeah, no, you could. And the second thing is, I try myself. I don't know if this is halach or a chumra, but I try not to put the pieces together if I know it's going to stay there for a while and press hard. I try to get my, you know. But I don't tell my kids anything about it. Lego, they play with Lego, they should enjoy it. I enjoy it. I played with Lego all Shabbos long for many years of my life. So we have this halacha called something has to be miskayem. Oh, are you allowed to tie a tie on Shabbos?
Yeah, it depends.
What do you mean? Kosher is one of the 39 halachas.
It depends how you tie it. And it depends how long you intend to tie it.
Oh, it's only going to be an Issa D'Oraisa if it's a kesher shel kayama.
Permanency?
A permanent kesher. In order for malacha to be violated on the Daraisa level, it has to be a malacha that is mitkayem. It has to be able to stay.
Oh, you know what I do? Rather, sometimes I keep the tie
Somebody asked me that. Yeah, I would say if you know that you tie it and it stays that way for four
months,
I would make it on Friday. I wouldn't be comfortable if you make it for, you know, you know that you are taught, you know, you're the kind of person that hates making ties. You do it once, you get a good knot, you keep it.
Yeah, me too.
For months.
I don't know if I'd wait for a week.
That's different, because you're just going to pull it out next time.
But if you're untying it multiple times a day, whatever you...
Oh, that's definitely fine. If you're the kind of guy that makes it once every 4 months, I wouldn't be comfortable making my own shabbos. Am I saying you're chayv d'orais? I'm not saying that.
But it's not for them to do it for Shabbat, no?
I would, yeah, if you keep them for a long time, I wouldn't do it on shabbos. I'd do it before
Shabbat. No, but it's Saturday morning before Shabbat.
That's of course fine, yeah. You can
yeah, just for the day, yeah, that's yeah.
Okay, I want you to turn to page Tzadiva.
Oh,
Amr Aleph.
Oh!
Wait, so
Mithayamin, just to clarify, did you relate to Hotsa yet or not yet?
1 second, please.
Okay.
Let's learn a Mishnah together.
Okay.
Asorek, Mereshut Ayachi, Mereshut
Arabim. Hazorek, Mereshut Ayachi, Mereshut Arabim. Mereshut Arabim, Mereshut Ayachi, Chayav. This is an Chay Skila. This is throwing. Throwing is from Rishus Hayach to Rishus Rabim is a tolda of Hotzah. And a tolda, it's of Hachnasa also, however you want to say it. But Zorek is also a Doraisa. Just like Hotzah is, Zorek is also. Now let's look at the third line, because that's what we need. Rishus Hayach, I throw it from my house to your house, but we're on opposite sides of the street. Rishus Harabim Be'emza. You hear the case? You live in one house, you throw it through from your window to the guy in that part of the window. Yes, and there's a Rishus HaRabim in the middle. So what's the halacha? Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva Mechayev v'Chachamim Potrim. And it explains to us the exact scenario. Ketzad, how so? Shtei gezuz tra'ot. I love that word. It's probably not Hebrew. It's probably like Latin or Greek. It means a porch. Two porches. Zoo connected zoo. One opposite the other. Rishus HaRabim. And there's Rishus HaRabim. Okay, we don't have to see the rest of the Mishnah. So we have a machlokas. Now, Rabbi Akiva says that you're chayav. So I throw from this window across the street into that window. I'm chayav. Why are you chayav? Where's the hotzah from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim? Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachad. Because it landed in Rishus HaRabim and bounced from Rishus HaRabim back up?
No.
It just went over the airspace. Why is that chayav?
Because once it enters the air, Rabbi
Akiva understands that when it's in the airspace, it's as though that's a hanacha. Kluta, caught in the airspace, is as though it's sitting there. Mm-hmm. Airspace is significant in the laws of Hotzah. That's what Rabbi Akiva holds. And the Chachamim who argue say no. It has to actually land in some place in order to be chayav. Okay, let's talk about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that if something's flying through airspace, it says, no, it's in that Rishus. So if I throw from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, halakhically, when it was over Rishus HaRabim in the middle, it was caught halakhically, not physically, but caught halakhically in Rishus HaRabim. So I threw it from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. And then again, from here to here. Fine. Now, is that melacha of Hotza'ah that Rabbi Akiva says Yechayev on, as I threw it from porch to porch or from window to window, that which it halakhically landed in Rishus HaRabim, so this halachic was caught there, it's in the airspace, it's considered there. Is that miskayim? Is that permanent?
No.
It's the opposite of permanent. It didn't even happen. And even if it happened, it's for that 3 seconds while it's traveling over that airspace. Nevertheless, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Yechayev. What did I just show you? That Hotzah is different from other malachas. All other malachas, in order to be chayev, have to be
permanent.
Here we have a malacha, Hotzah, which, why? I don't know, but I have a Mishnah, the opinion at least of Rabbi Akiva, who, I don't know if we pass like him or not, but Rabbi Akiva holds that even though it's flying over the Rishus HaRabim, it's considered to be chayev midaraisa. Even though there's no miskayim, there's nothing permanent. What do I see from this? So, this is the argument of the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer, when did he live? I don't even know when he lived. guess 150 years ago, the Avnei Nezer says that this is a proof that you don't need Niskayim by Hotzah. What's the only reason? Why should Hotzah be different than anything else? I only know one reason. Must be because it's a Malacha Grua. So what do I see?
A third Nafkamina. That Hotzah does not need Niskayim.
According to Chachamim?
Well, according to Chachamim, you're not chayav because you never went into Rishus HaRabim.
Right.
And we know from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, that's not chayav.
Well, that's like a stringency. That makes it stricter, if anything.
You're right. That's true.
But that makes it stricter.
That's true. Interesting.
Alright, so I just have a question on that.
Let me add one twist, which is beautiful.
Okay.
The Avnei Nezer said, and I have the best proof in the world to show you that the Hotzah will be chayav even though it's not miskayim. What's the source of Hotzah? We have two psukim.
Yeah.
One psukim is that they made donations. What was the other pasuk? That they what was the other pasuk?
Things to the
mission.
What's the other pasuk? What does the pasuk say? They should not go out from his house meeting doing what?
To carry what? To bring back one.
It does say don't bring back, so don't carry out. What are they bringing out?
Oh, the basket.
Exactly. Don't carry your basket outside. Now, can I ask you a question? Where is that basket going to be for the next 14 hours of the day? Wrong. You're going to collect your basket, fill your baskets with mud, and walk back inside.
Yeah.
So you see the Torah's definition of Hotzah is itself not a miskayim case.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool. You see within the Malach itself.
How do you know the guy that the basket doesn't plant it inside Rishus HaRabim? He'll put it down.
What's the whole point of... Permanent means it stays that way.
Okay.
Because after he puts it down on the floor, he collects his mon,
right.
And then talks to his friends, he can't smoke a cigarette, he'll, I don't know, do whatever he does, and he'll make Kiddush, he'll daven Musaf, and then he'll walk back carrying his thing back. So it wasn't permanent. The Hotzah didn't stay there for the rest of Shabbos. It's not a permanent Malacha. Still, you see, in the Pasuk itself, you see that you're Chayav. Yeah, question.
Why are we saying that it has anything to do with Mitkayam? Who cares in this case that if it's permanent or not? Isn't the actual Isur just the act of, like, taking it out and bringing it back in?
I tied a knot on Shabbos. Why is it okay?
Josie.
You're telling me the act is an act of Yisur.
Yeah, just like the...
So if I do an act, if I wrote a prescription with this invisible ink, I violated the act of writing. You're telling me I'm not chayav. Why not? Because it's halacha called miskayim. Maybe it's even part of Melechus Machshavas, perhaps. I don't know what the source for miskayim is. Maybe it's even part of Melechus Machshavas. But to violate a Melacha Midoraisa, it has to meet the requirement of being miskayim.
Isn't it a three-parter, like Akira, crossing the domain, and then Hanacha? Okay, you didn't do Akira and Hanacha, but you still transferred the domain. You still
didn't Akira and a Hanacha and a Hotzah. But the fact, wherever you brought it, didn't stay there, and you're still chayav. Okay, that was the third nafkamina. Let's go to another nafkamina. The next one is going to carry us to the work that you were doing this morning of Chatzis Shir. Listen to the following. Every melacha has a shi'ur with an ayin, not like a class that you're sitting in shir, but a shi'ur of how much you have to do in order to be chayav.
Or
shir. Right?
Every isur.
Let's talk about eating chaylev. You want to eat pork, not chaylev. You want to eat pork. In order to violate the Isur, you only eat chayev if you eat pork. You only get malchus if you
have a certain amount.
Kazayit within?
I have
a certain amount of time, correct. Every malacha has some kind of shiur. How much you have to do in order to. The critical. You took chemistry, there's something called a critical mass. The minimal amount of mass that you need in order for the reaction to occur. So every malacha, every yisur in the Torah has, wherever there's a positive, there's a certain amount, you have to have that critical mass.
So by eating is the design for all food?
Yes. Wherever it says the word lo tochal, wherever the root alef chav lamed is a kazayit. By the way, my friends, you learned a Mishnah Yoma this morning.
Right, it's not.
It's Mishnah Yoma. You know why? Because what's the Torah? Where does the Torah say? Don't eat on Yom Kippur.
Does it?
It doesn't. Not eating Yom Kippur is a mitzvah. I say. You know what the Torah says? You shall afflict yourself. Te'anu et nashotechem. Te'anu means you shall afflict yourself. It doesn't say the word achal. That's why it doesn't have the shear of achila, which is a kezias.
So it's the rabbana not to eat on Yom Kippur?
No.
No. Well, we'll get there in a minute. Midoraisa, the Torah says, you shall afflict yourself. But the word achila isn't used. So therefore, the kezias measurement is just the definition of the word achila. Anytime you see the word achila in the Torah, either yes, eat matzah, yes, eat in a sukkah, or don't eat chaleb, don't eat pork, the word achila, you could just write in on top of that every single time you see the shorish. Aleph chaf lamed in the Torah, kezayit b'chdei achilas pras. If you want to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, you can't take a munch and shmooze, and another munch and shmooze, and another munch and shmooze. You have to eat a kezayit b'chdei achilas pras. When you eat in the sukkah, you have to eat a kezayit of bread with a kezayit, but then a kezayit achilas pras. The first night of sukkah is, could you choose just to... I don't know, have vegetables and meat? No, you have to have bread. Because they have those pus. And when you do the negative, lo ta'aseh, where the Torah says, don't do an achila, you can't eat the kazayas with the achila's pus.
You can't eat all the rabbanon, right?
That we'll talk about when we do Yom Kippur, when we do that discussion that you did. I remember Machloke Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. But we'll see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
now, regarding Hotza'ah, there are Mishnayos that talk about later on in this Masechta. I wish I remembered which the Mishnah talks about. Turn to page Tzadi Amud Beis. Look at the Mishnah, please.
The Mishnah.
I'll give you the background. Normally, you need a shear of how much you have to carry in order. You have to carry some significant amount. What's a significant amount? So usually, significant amounts are some significant size. What are cases where even a tiny bit is important? Seeds. Three seeds. One seed is important because I could get a whole tree out of it. Medication. A tiny little bit of medication heals a person. Let's look at this Mishnah. Hamatznia. Somebody who hides away. The zera. Something is dedicated for planting. Ula dugma. Or it's a sample. You're a salesman.
Hamatznia is planted.
Matznia means you put it, from the word tzniot, you hide it away. Okay. Something that's put aside so that you can either to plant it. Or as a sample, when you want to show a customer, if you sell paint, you want to show a customer what this paint looks like. What do you have? You have the little card. You ever see that card, like half the size of a business card? That just has, it's pink. Mm-hmm. Another one's a little more pink. Another one's a little more reddish pink. So that one little card is insignificant, but why is it significant? Because this is how the salesman is going to show his ware. It's accomplishing whatever he needs to do, even though it's very small. So therefore, if you do things like zera l'dugma l'refua, v'hotzio b'shabbat, chay v'chol shehu, even a tiny amount, v'chol adam, but a regular guy who's not a farmer and he carries a seed, or not a doctor and he carries some, I don't know, some herb, or he's not a pink salesman and he carries a card that's pink, ein chay v'alav, ela kishi'uro. Except if he takes out its shear, which there is a mission somewhere that explains what the shear is, but not here. Fine. Turn now to Daf Sadi Gimel Amud Beis. Actually, even better. Turn to Sadi Amud Aleph.
What, Sadi?
Sadi Amud Aleph. 98. Says the Mishnah. I'm sorry, the bottom of Pei Tet Amud Bet. Right before Sadi Amud Aleph is Pei Tet Amud Beis. There are a lot of Mishnahs that talk about this point. I'm trying to find the one that's clearest and makes it most evident. Hamotzi Eitzim. You carry wood. How much wood do you have to carry to violate Hotza'ah?
Enough.
A toothpick? No. A branch?
It's sheer.
It has to have a significant amount. There has to be some significance to your Hotza'ah. What's the smallest amount of wood that is purposeful, that is useful? Let's see the Mishnah. Hamotzi Eitzim. How much do you need to take out to violate Hotza'ah? Kadei Levashel Beit Zakala. To cook a small egg. That's the smallest amount of cooking you could ever do. Eggs cook pretty quickly. You all know that eggs take
5 minutes.
5 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever it is.
2 or 3.
To make it edible, just as a soft-boiled egg, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So you have to keep something, a small egg, for 2 minutes. So enough wood to do that. That's already a significant amount of wood. Less than that is there's nothing you could do with wood. Tavlin, you take out spices. What's the smallest amount of spice that you should be chayav? 1 grain of pepper. You can't do anything with 1 grain of pepper. How much? Tavlin, kedei l'tavel, to spice a beit zakala. Just to spice an egg. An egg just needs a little bit of spice. 8 grains of pepper, let's say. Is enough to already give it flavor? Fine.
No way.
Etc., etc., etc. 10 grains of pepper.
Yes, so...
And it goes to give all the different amounts of all the different... I'll tell you an interesting. Look at Mishnah Zat Tzadi. Mishnah Tzadi, in the second line, Tzadi Amud Aleph, I'm just going to, you don't have to turn anywhere, Mini Matachot, types of metals.
Where?
The Mishnah in the middle of the page, the second line of the Mishnah, Tzadi Amud Aleph, Mini Matachot, metal. What could you do with a small, tiny piece of metal?
Where is that? Is this
Palat
Kol?
What could you do with a tiny piece of metal? It could kill you with it.
Yeah.
It could puncture your who knows what. So therefore, Matachot will have what cheer?
Very zero.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it says here. Mine matzavot kol shehein. Even a tiny amount. Why? Does Rashi say here? Rashi's going to say. Rashi's going to make this point.
Rabbi, what's the iser of tilat neshama? Is that by?
It's one of the melachas. Hashochata. Killing. Yeah, because in order to get the curtains for the mishkan, they had to kill the animal before they took off its skin.
But you can kill that.
Okay, so what did we just show? We just showed that there's a shear. Okay? There's a shear. Now, let's say I, and all the malachas, the other malachas also. Let me think of a malacha. Ohel. If you build an ohel, you build a house. It's only called, it's only a malacha, I think, if it's four tzvachim by four tzvachim, or something like that. There's a shear, some measurement. Let's say the following. Let's say I do a chutzah. I take out half, and then I take out another half. Let's say we're talking about wood. So how many little twigs do I need to cook an egg? Let's say I need 4 twigs. Fine. Let's say I take out 2 twigs, and I take out 2 more twigs. So I did a chutzah, 4 twigs. But let's say, listen carefully, David. You're gonna like this. Let's say I took out 2 twigs. And they got eaten by a twig eater.
Oh.
And then I take out 2 more twigs.
What's a twig?
Huh?
What's a twig?
Like a little small branch.
Small branch. Small piece of wood from a tree. So there, we're going to finish with this point. What did I do? I did a shear, but the shear's not here anymore. So, let's say, for example, I wrote one letter, and it got erased, and then I wrote another letter. Am I going to be chayav?
No.
Why not?
You are. At the end of the day, you did the...
I did write 2 letters, didn't I?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, did I... What's the whole purpose? The malacha is that you have 2 letters next to each other, so you don't have that in the end.
Is that the malacha?
Okay, the malacha is writing 2 letters, like in the Mishnah.
Next to each other?
I assume after.
So
don't
you
know.
Could just write letters everywhere.
We'll have to find that out. I don't know. So if I have my 2 letters, I have to. The whole point of the malacha is I have 2 letters because that's why I can match up the 2 beams, right?
Yeah.
In the Mishnah. Okay, so let's say if you wrote one and it got erased, and you wrote another, I don't have my 2 letters able to match. So let's say ksiva you didn't violate, but let's say there's a certain minimal amount of tofen. You have to grind some significant amount. I ground 1 kernel. And then half an hour later, I grabbed another kernel. So you're going to be chayv, right?
That sounds a lot.
Maybe we could argue. That's a question. What?
Is that the shear that you
I don't know, whatever the amount is. Whatever the amount is. So this is the prima goddam's question. What happens if you do half a shear and you do another half a shear later? Does it have to be one act or it has to be on Shabbos? You violated tochein. You ground stuff up. You crushed it and you did a whole shear. So prima goddam has that as a question. But you know what the prima goddam says? But he says, it's actually an explicit Mishnah on Daf Tzadi, Peyom and Aleph, which we don't have time to look at right now. But if you carried out, how many twigs do I need to carry?
Four.
I carried out two twigs, and they got eaten up or burnt. And I carried out another two twigs. The Mishnah says explicitly, I'm putter.
From where?
I'm putter for carrying it out, for doing hard stuff. No, it's a Mishnah on Daf Pei. It's another Mishnah, we didn't see it. It's another Mishnah, Daf Pei. So, is that going to be a good proof that the rest of Malach is also? If you did a part of it, and then you did another part later, that you're also going to be Pater? Says the Prima Gadim, you can't bring a proof on Hatzah. Why? Because maybe specifically by Hatzah you're going to be Pater, because it's a Malach Grua. Therefore, maybe you don't have the requirement of doing a whole shear present all at once. But by other malachas, you will need the whole shiur to be present all at once. So that will be the fourth nafkamina.
Four and a half.
Okay, God willing, on Sunday, we will talk about this concept of shiur. But we're not going to talk about it in terms of how much you have to carry. The discussion we're going to have on Sunday, and listen carefully, is going to be, if you do just Akira, without a Hanacha, is that like half of a shear? Is that like carrying half the amount of wood?
That's the thing. That's the shear. What? How much are you going
to carry? Shear is how much you have to carry in order to be chaya.
Is there a new story?
About a key would be good.
A key is significant, because it's you can do something with it. So what we're going to talk about on Sunday is Zakira without a Hanacha. Mm-hmm. Now, it's important to know if it's a shear, because we're going to talk about a chatzi shear, half shear is also midrabbanu, midaraisa, so that we'll talk about on Sunday.